Word of
mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. From intrepid explorers to hardy pioneers to Jack Kerouac's drug-addled odyssey, the road trip is a staple of American literature and folklore. Stories of crossing the nation are allegories for freedom, expanding opportunities, and often escape. The little-known story of an African-American woman crossing the country 8 times during the 1930s and 40s is remarkable enough. The fact that Bessie Stringfield did it alone on a motorcycle is downright astonishing. In the second installment of his graphic anthology, Tales of the Talented Tenth, Black History in Action, Joel Christian Gill brings us the story of the woman who became known as the Motorcycle Queen of Miami. Joel is, in essence, Strange Fruit Comics and chair of foundations at NHIA. And Joel, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Now, congratulations on another just wonderful edition. Tell us about Bessie Stringfield. Born Jamaica, 1911, I think. When did she come to the U.S.?
She came to the United States when she was about 5 or 6 years old. And at the time, her mother was sick. So once they got to Boston, her mother was dying. Her father abandons her. And she lives in a convent. She stays with the nuns in an orphanage, and they take care of her for a number of years. And she speaks, when she talks about them in interviews and things, she talks about them very kindly, how they took care of her. And then an Irish woman adopts her and gives her everything that she wants. And she says that, and she, you know, what's funny is that she never said the woman's name. She wouldn't talk about the woman openly. She just kind of said, you know, she took care of me, the lady, the nice lady. And when she was 16 years old, she was asked if she asked her what she wanted for her birthday. And she said, I want a motorcycle, which is odd. It would have been like 1925. She was like, I want a motorcycle. And she said, you know, well, ask the good Lord upstairs and see what he says. And she got a motorcycle, and that was it. Like, once Bessie Stringfield got a motorcycle, it was on. It was done for.
When this woman must have been a woman of means to buy her a, I think it was a Indian Scout.
It was an Indian Scout.
Beautiful motorcycle
Indian
at
Scout.
The time.
Yeah, and, you know, she went from, you know, poverty to, like, and, you know, if you think of an orphanage, not anything, you know, like nothing to your name, to, like, suddenly someone taking care of you. And she asked for a motorcycle. And, you know, like the idea of like a black woman, you know, a 5'2" black woman, you know, just driving on, just getting on a motorcycle and driving away is just interesting in and of itself right now. And you take that woman and you add her to, you make it the 1920s when women aren't supposed to wear pants, let alone ride a motorcycle. And then you add that she's a black woman. You know, like that's like even a more amazing story to me. So when I heard the story, you know, and she's one of the Bessies, right? Bessie Smith, Bessie Coleman, and Bessie Stringfield. And when I heard that story, it was just like, I have to draw this.
It is just such an amazing story. And in one of the things you portray in it is this recurring dream that she has of her falling. You know, it's a common anxiety dream, I think, for a lot of people. Was that real, that dream?
No, that was me trying to figure out, because Bessie talked about how she'd always felt like she was searching for something. And so I was trying to show that. And, you know, comics can do that kind of thing where you can show things that are metaphors that extend out to other things. And so I was trying to show, like, you know, as a kid, you know, like I often had dreams as a kid of like waking up in the back of the car and nobody's driving the car, that kind of thing. And so I was like, what kind of dream would you have had if you were always searching for something and you felt like it was just out of reach? And so that was the thing, like falling, like over and over and over again. And I think the last dream in the book, she's no longer falling. She's just walking down the road, like everything's out in front of her. And, you know, and I wanted to just have that spaced out in different places so that when you saw Bessie Stringfield and you saw that falling, you know, oh, like she still hasn't found where she was looking for. Mm.
And that quest brought her across the country many times. She rode around New England and got a little tired of that, as beautiful as it is. The first black woman ever to cross the country on a motorcycle. Now, how did she decide where to go?
This is like one of the best things about Bessie is that she would like lay down a map. And she would take a penny out and she would throw a penny up in the air. And wherever this penny landed, that's where she would go. And she called it her penny tours. And, you know, like not only would she just like find these amazing little places to go, but she would also, if she ran out of money there, she would, you know, find a circus or like a carnival and she would go and do tricks. And the way that I was thinking about having her move through that is to also get the Green Book, which most people don't know about this. It's like this little known like historical fact. There was this thing called the Green Book for the Negro Motorist. And it was a listing of all the places in the South where you could stop and get gas, you could stop and eat, because, you know, you couldn't just drive and just, like, stop on the side of the road like we do now, like, because most places would have signs whites only, and, like, you couldn't stop it, you know, so there were a lot of different places. So she uses the Green Book and her map, and she basically just makes her own way, which is just, like, amazing. Not just, like, amazing for, you know, like a person to do that, but a woman and a black woman to do that. Like, there's no man in her life that's like leading her. There's no like anything. She's just like, I'm just going to go do my thing.
Well, she's an African-American woman driving alone in the Jim Crow South, in the Jim Crow era. And we see through your depiction of it, the shadow of these crows chasing her across the map of the country. So we see that this is everywhere. What kind of things did she encounter?
She was almost run off the road a couple of times. Of course, she was like the sort of everyday racism of the time. She had she wouldn't be able to go into some places. She wouldn't go to, you know, people always underestimated her, you know, constant harassment, you know, the kind of thing that she'd have to get over. The thing that I don't address very much in the book, because it was really interesting to try to figure out, is that Bessie said she was married six times.
I know, I read that too.
But
there's some stories there.
Yeah, but most of the records of her marriage, there aren't any records except for her last husband, who was Arthur Stringfield. And the reason why, I actually found someone who knew her, and it was because most of the men that she liked, she said, her friend said that she liked skinny white men. And the reason that most of her marriages wouldn't have been recognized is because they were probably illegal. And she said once in another interview that if you kissed, you were married. So I feel like Bessie just sort of adopted some of these people as her husband as she moved throughout the world. I mean, and then, you know, then she decided her last husband, Arthur Stringfield, was like the last one that she spent any time with. I think in one of the interviews they did with her right before she died, she was asked if she would ever get married again. And she was in her 80s. Oh, she was actually in her 70s when they did this. And she said, the only thing that I... old man can do for me is take me to a younger man.
This really does sound like someone you want to have a drink with.
Yes, actually. Absolutely. She was a fantastic lady.
Well, the graphic novel gives you so much room to interpret and to depict. And one of the things you do is interpret. You have a graphic interpretation for the N-word.
Right.
So what symbol do you use, and what inspired that technique?
When you think about comics, you know, when you're reading a book, when you're reading a novel, if you're reading a novel about Thomas Jefferson, you're not thinking about what kind of pants he's wearing. You know, you're not thinking about the chair that he's sitting in. In comics, you have to do that. And if you have to think about something as an artist, you should try to figure out how to use that. With the way that I use that little, like, racist caricature of a black person as a symbol for the N-word, you know, I was trying to think, how could I embed that, you know, that history of racism, that sort of, you know, that whole thing about how black people were perceived up until probably the night yesterday, about how those things were sort of how black people are perceived. And I was like, there's nothing better than to use that little racist caricature, you know, the little blackface sort of like minstrel character to show like the N-word, because it, you know, in a lot of ways it is like a representation. This is what we think black people are, but that's not really what black people are. And so it was like, I'm going to show that sort of like disconnected representation of what black people are. And I think that because it's comics, it resonates. You know, people see that. Like, I don't have to explain that to anybody. Nobody ever has asked me, what does this little thing mean? They've asked me what the crows mean. But nobody's ever really asked me, like, what's that mean? Because when you see it, you automatically know what it means.
We're talking about the character of Bessie Stringfield with Joel Christian Gale. He is a writer and a cartoonist. And his latest volume of The Talented Tenth, which is a series about African-American heroes who really lived, is about Bessie Stringfield, the motorcycle queen of Miami. What a story that she had. She was also the only female dispatch rider during World War II, a courier,
in
I guess.
Group of men, yeah.
Always kind of throwing herself into these situations, but she didn't see herself as attached to that kind of movement for civil rights. I mean, with such independence on her own.
I know, and I think, and there's probably, you know, and I'm looking for them, because there's probably lots and lots more stories out there like that of black people who were just doing their thing. You know, black people are more than just Martin Luther King and Dr. King and Malcolm X and Jesse Owens. I mean, we are like quirky and weird, and like we do these weird things, like this woman gets on a motorcycle and does something that black people aren't supposed to really do. And I think that these stories about people doing these amazing things are the things that I think people should connect more with. Not that Dr. King's story of the civil rights movement is unimportant, but the stories of people and the stories of how black people have survived are the thing that I think will connect us to each other. You know, the idea that, you know, there's this black woman on a motorcycle, it's just like, that's something that everybody, like a motorcycle rider should be able to relate to that. Like, she's doing her thing. Like, that's like the idea of being like the open road, like freedom, like just doing what you have to do. And I think that those are the stories of how black people have survived in America are the things that I think everybody should connect to.
And also inspire us and make us think like a human being can do this.
Absolutely.
Know, that's what
yeah.
I think. You know, be that daring in your everyday life. What would life be like if you could do that?
I will tell you right now that if I was Bessie Stringfellow, I would never have slept on the side of the road. I would have been terrified. But and like, you know, I'm a big guy, so I literally would have been like, all right, I'm going to go find someplace where there's light. But she just like rolled off into the, like, I'm going to go over here and sleep.
And she also later rode around Brazil, Haiti, so other places.
She rode around. Yeah, she left the United States and rode a number of other places, which would have probably given her a completely different perspective. You know, especially being a black woman, because if you ride around Haiti or you ride around Brazil, you ride around South America or anywhere else, it's like you're no longer black. You're like American, which I don't think most people even understand. As soon as you leave America, you're not black or white. You are American now. And people don't understand that people outside of our country connect us better than we connect to ourselves inside it, which I think is a weird concept.
Boy, do I want to see a movie about her.
I want everybody to make movies about my book. If anybody's listening.
Joel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Joel Christian Gill. He is, as he puts it, the chairman, CEO, president, director of development, majority and minority stockholder, manager, receptionist, and senior black correspondent, and janitor of Strange Fruit Comics. I probably missed a few in there. He's also chair of foundations at the New Hampshire Institute of Art. Bessie Stringfield is the star of Volume 2 in the Tales of the Talented Tenth Black History in Action series. You can find more on the series at wordofmouthradio.org.